This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good evening, it is Lee Chui Lin alongside Kelvin Yee and Ayman Rashad. First up today, we're discussing how Italy is planning to become the first country to make studying climate change compulsory.
And you can always join a conversation. Call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. All this coming up on the Evening Edition.
BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:05 in the evening with Lin, Ayman and Kelvin. And our first story of the day is a Popit Social, where we're talking about environmental education in schools. Now, this is coming up after Italy announced plans last month to make climate change compulsory as a unit of study in schools. And it actually makes them the first country to do so.
So this move will be part of a new law under which all state schools will dedicate around an hour a week to teach sustainability and climate change issues. The syllabus will be based on the United Nations SDGs, or Sustainable Development Goals, which includes things like how to live more sustainably, how to combat the pollution of the oceans, and how to address poverty and social injustice.
The lessons will first be taught as part of civics education and will eventually be integrated into other subjects. For example, geography won't just involve studying names of places and locations, but also look at the impact of human actions on different parts of the planet as well.
Which is really another way of offering context, right, about the world. So it's no longer just saying, like, I think it's things like understanding the risks that island nations face, for example, and how that differs compared to others. But we wanted to get a feel for, you know, how much we here in Malaysia would need a dedicated subject for climate change. So we asked around to see what people understood about the topic.
Climate change is when our weather, climate, it changes unnaturally. For example, some places get hotter, some places get colder, right? It is because of what we do to the environment, it gives this one big effect to the weather.
Climate change is an unnatural shift in certain areas of the atmosphere / environment, which is bad. Yeah.
Climate change is the change of temperature that moves like the Earth's core and things like that, that affects global warming and all those stuff.
They also shared what resources they go to find out more about climate change issues.
My biggest source for any kind of news, including climate change, would be Twitter, and that includes news, any kind of articles or infographics or whatever, even people's opinions about climate change and stuff. So,
well, mostly I get my news online, for example, on Reddit or any news platform.
I learned about climate change through Instagram or like newsletter through email. I signed up for them or like YouTube. And also it has been like a very current news topic that everyone talks about. They even have it on Netflix. So that's where I know about climate change.
So I think a lot of those responses reflect how I've been thinking about climate change as well, which is that it is something that permeates a lot of our news coverage. It is mentioned even in stories that aren't necessarily about it, because it's such a big, huge thing that we're all concerned about. And so because of that, I'm not surprised to hear that social media is one of the key ways in which people are actually learning about this, not necessarily through books or dedicated discussions or panels. It's a bit more informal at this point in time, which has me wondering what a more formalized syllabus would look like.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that people tend to get their news from social media and the fact that they tend to learn more about climate change because of social media is just reflective of how we consume our information, how we get our information. So a more formalized one through schools or, I don't know, like some kind of like formal institution, for example, is one way to do it. But I think naturally or organically, people will end up learning it from the internet anyway.
You know, one problem, though, with the issue of social media is that it provides information in snippets. It is necessarily catchy. It is necessarily short. If you think about what it is that you can encompass in a tweet or even a Twitter thread or a Facebook post, it's not really going to tell the whole story, I think. And so my only concern is if we take the word of social media as gospel, right? Like if we see a percentage or a number being touted on Instagram and you just think, okay, yeah, sure, that's the number. I don't know whether social media in and of itself inspires people to then go on and do the deeper reading, right? And to find out, I think, more actual facts and figures, more actual information that isn't summarized in those short bite-sized chunks.
Yeah, which I think is where integrating it into your national education system, into your curriculum matters, right? Then at least you have more context with it. And I guess it also then shows what the nation's priorities are when it comes to this. You know, in Malaysia, when we think of something as a priority, we sort of integrate and insert it into our textbooks. You know, when we want to say, oh, palm oil is important to the Malaysian economy, let's put that into the syllabus. So perhaps this is also a signal to the rest of the world from Italy saying that, you know, we as a country, we care about climate change, you know, so much so that we want our kids from the very start of their lives to learn about it.
I think the approach to it as well is very important. Like, I'm trying to think of like when we were in school, right? Like, I don't know if an on-the-nose approach will be effective in sort of like teaching kids about climate change. Admittedly, perhaps some won't be that interested in it, for example, those who aren't environmentally conscious. But for those who are more conscious about the environment, they will be interested in it. But having a more heavy-handed on-the-nose approach may not be the best strategies, which is why I like the idea that, you know, they're integrating it slowly into other subjects like geography, how you're learning about places and the effects of human activity in that kind of area. So it's a good strategy, that one.
So we are talking today about how Italy is the first country in the world to make the study of climate change compulsory in schools. Is this something that you would like to see here in Malaysia? What do you think that syllabus would look like? Call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. We're going to be speaking after this with Professor Dr. Ahmad Ismail, who's the president of the Malaysian Nature Society, to get his thoughts. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Bodacious, fabulous minds. BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:13 in the evening. You're with Lynn, Ayman and Kelvin, and we're talking today about how, in Italy at least, climate change is going to be a compulsory element of school. The study of it is going to be made compulsory, and Italy's the first country to do that. So we just kind of wanted to talk about really that, right? Like the fact that it is happening, what it means, and whether it's something that we should be thinking about integrating here in our country as well. We'd love to hear from you. You can call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. Do you think climate change should be introduced in our schools? Now, joining us on the line to talk about this is Professor Dr. Ahmad Ismail, President of the Malaysian Nature Society. Prof, firstly, thank you so much for being on the show with us.
Thank you for inviting me to join the discussion.
So I guess we should ask, you know, what are your thoughts on this move by Italy to make teaching about climate change compulsory?
This climate change issue is a global issue. It's an international issue. Many people are talking about it. And then there's so many approaches that we try to do it. I follow through your early discussion. This very important word you mentioned is about integrated and insert. So meaning that the existing curriculum is already, maybe already there, like geography and science. So by inserting some element of climate change and integrated it through across the curriculum to make this education system or education on climate change is better. So I think what Italy move is good, but I don't think by introducing just a subject it can solve a problem. But by integrating it and insert in many subjects, it become better and make people have knowledge, aware, and practice. The most important is practice for me.
So the syllabus that Italy is thinking of is going to be based on UN's SDGs. Do you think this would be a useful framework to base their syllabus on?
Yeah, the whatever syllabus design at international level, for me, is a guideline. Because the local issues that contribute to climate change is very important. So, for example, we in tropical country, how tropical climates or tropical forests or tropical environment contributing to climate change? So what are the issues, actually? This is what we want to highlight. What level curriculum produced by at international level, so it's a guidance for us. But we need to have something, a discussion at a school level, either integrated across the curriculum or we insert the subject, the topic in a particular subject. For example, when we teach English, for example, or we teach language, for example, we put a climate change issue for students to debate, try to understand and discuss. The same thing in geography. They learn about air, about rain, about climate and so on. And then the ecology, how the changes of the ecosystem and what effect to the biodiversity, for example, by the climate change. So this kind of thing should be integrated and depend on the level. What are the level? Primary school or secondary school or university level. So people need to be exposed continuously so that they understand what a climate change and what are the effects of climate change to human beings especially and to environment in general.
Right now, how are we teaching sustainability in Malaysian schools?
For me, I can see some element of sustainability and environmental changes are taught in school. But how far they understand and practice is another issue, because maybe the approach of our education system is not to not for awareness or for practice, but for examination maybe. So I think in a wide scope, we need to tell the general public. See, for example, what is the main reason reason cause climate change? For example, emission of carbon dioxide or carbon monoxide to the atmosphere. So then create high temperature. And then we need to solve that problem. How to solve this problem? Reduce open burning, for example. They might understand what is open burning. So, for example, when we throw rubbish, you go to landfill site, they might burn the rubbish there. Or some area, they burn the dried plant material or rubbish or whatever. This open burning might cause increase of carbon dioxide in the air. And maybe the burning of fossil fuel like coal or petrol, right? We need to tackle that issue. So maybe in Malaysia, we already have something that we can reduce the emission of carbon to the atmosphere. So that is more important than at the moment than putting in the curriculum. So I mean that is we call it long life learning. Eh? Mm-hmm. All adults also need to learn. The politician need to learn. The businessman need to learn. The rules must be there, and then the government officers must look into the implementation of policies, enforcement of rules and regulations, and so on.
So in your experience, when it comes to educating not just children, I suppose, but people about climate change, about the environment, what methods tend to work, right? Is it reading materials? Is it videos? Is it hands-on experience? You mentioned quite a few methods earlier, but what tends to be the most effective?
Yeah, the old time we don't have internet, right? So we use a reference material. So students were asked to go to the library and look for references that related to climate change. What are the deforestation? How deforestation create the imbalance of the local climate, for example? What are the effect of microclimate in a certain area when they do deforestation? But now we have internet. It's very powerful tools to get references. It's a fingertip thing. In my teaching, for example, I teach them biodiversity and how biodiversity can be affected by climate change. So the student will go through internet and Google this and get the information and try to write it. Either they write in the essay, they present in the seminar, they discuss as a debate in the class, or they make a YouTube, small, short movies. So so that they can circulate among their friends, and then the message will go to many people and share. So this is the new technology, the new media is very important to make many people understand, many people follow what we have in now. Say, for example, we have a Madrid meeting COP25 now, part of it talking about climate change and how people in Malaysia or you know, students in the university discuss about the climate change. So not just the media, but make everybody talking about climate change for this maybe 1 or 2 weeks so that the whole Malaysia really know about climate change. And then coincident now with the monsoon season, so they will assess how the climate change might affect their daily life.
Just now you mentioned the concept of lifelong learning, right? So I just want to ask you, how can we extend this environmental education to adults and politicians and businesses?
Well, now it's very easy because we have the new media, WhatsApp, we have a short video and so on. We can circulate all around. And we make our politicians realize and discuss in parliament so that attract more people. Say, for example, how many topics or how many people ask or discuss in parliament recently about climate change? Do you see any? So this is how we need to educate the politician. And then when the politician understand this, so say, for example, how to get ready in case of heavy rain in Cameron Highlands, for example. So this is a thing that long life education is very important. So when the politician give a speech to their people, and then they'll educate the local. And then if they don't understand, and they will refer to their children. Their children learn from school. School can teach, teachers can teach in class. So this kind of thing, the circle that the education should involve when you talk about climate change.
Absolutely. Professor, thank you so much for weighing in today.
Thank you very much.
You've been listening to Professor Dr. Ahmad Ismail, President of the Malaysian Nature Society, weighing in on a plan that's been put forth from Italy for the study of climate change to be made compulsory in schools. That makes them the first country to do so. So we've been talking about how to integrate this subject into schools here, as well as, I guess, I would like to extend the question that I asked Prof. Ahmad to everybody else, which is, you know, what are the ways in which you've learned about climate change? What has worked for you in terms of getting that information? Let us know. Call us at 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio, BFM89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.